says, "Now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me." Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And Father Sky says, "Now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me." Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And all living creatures say, "Take good care of us. Please do not hurt us." Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be. And we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings.
Greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Stop!
music from the Southern Cree drum off the Canyon Records CD, Southern Cree Thunder and Lightning Cree Powwow Songs, a really fine young group of drummers and singers from the Cree Nation. That particular song was entitled Buffalo Spirit. Our square greetings and hello everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Our guest today is Mr. David Solnit, a well-respected global justice activist. David is editor of the fine book, Globalized Liberation, How to Uproot the System and Build a Better World, published by City Light Books. I had the privilege to meet Mr. Solnit at the 2005 Immokalee in Centro, a wonderful global justice youth forum I had the honor to attend. Yad Kiddushin Native Center had the honor to participate in a very special gathering of youth activists from across the country who came together to share ideas and experiences in the pursuit of what I term Earth Justice. Earth Justice incorporates social, economic, cultural, and environmental concerns dealing with the growing threat of globalization. Globalization is the 21st century's form of colonization. The gathering, which was held August 1st through the 7th, 2005, was entitled En Centro, for the Spanish term for meeting, gathering, or encounter. Hosted by the National Student Farmworker Alliance, SFA, in support of the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, CIW, young activists met in an atmosphere of trust, equality, and solidarity in order to continue to build this youth movement for global justice. The En Centro took place in one of the poorest communities in America, the town of Immokalee, Florida, located just 15 minutes from us here at Yad Kiddushin Native Center. Immokalee is one of the battlegrounds for poor people's social and economic justice. The oppression and exploitation faced by Immokalee farm workers over the years in the agricultural industry has been nothing less than modern-day slavery. The organizing and resistance work of the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, such as the recent precedent-setting victory in the Yum Brands Taco Bell boycott, is a significant achievement in the struggle for worker rights to fair wages and decent working conditions. Listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know that Yad Kiddushin Native Center has been and continues to be an ally to the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, our neighbors, since CIW's founding. Wolf Mountain Radio is proud to have provided continual coverage of CIW's struggles over the years to our worldwide listeners. Those of us who have participated in the Coalition's campaigns and marches know that the fight for justice is far from over. This is why the En Centro was so important. The Immokalee En Centro brought focus with strategies in the next phases of building alliances and movement networks for global justice and for continuing to support the Coalitions of Immokalee Workers. The Immokalee En Centro of student and youth activists and organizers who came together to share skills, knowledge, and experience was truly a committed, diverse, and talented group. I was honored to attend. The way in which the dialogue took place was very special. Event organizers, trainers, and participants were careful to ensure equality and respect for all, being very open to issues of power dynamics such as racism, gender, sexism, economic status, class privilege, and white supremacy. It takes great effort to listen and make agreements based on inclusion, consent, and consensus. In indigenous people's culture, we follow a traditional council circle way of gathering, using the Galuska Watchanabe talking stick or talking feather. In this way, all have respect for each other and listen carefully to each other without bias or judgment. This ethic encourages everyone to consider how one's words and actions will impact the well-being of all life for seven future generations. This SFA Youth Conference should be proud of how everyone worked together. It is a lesson many so-called adults should emulate. I want to share a paragraph from the En Centro booklet entitled Listen and Build. Quote, "We envision a space in which all voices are heard, seeing and hearing one another in our full humanity, where everyone feels comfortable to contribute and barriers between experts and audience are broken down. It is also extremely important that we confront the power hierarchies that we observe amongst and within ourselves and oppressive attitudes and behaviors we have internalized and continue to perpetuate even as activists, unquote. The week-long Immokalee and Centro operated on a consensus-based model, trying to be non-hierarchical, making sure everyone's voice and concerns were heard, while also promoting group cohesion and participation. In the spirit of the indigenous Zapatista movement in Chiapas, the Student Farm Worker Alliance and Centro participants believe in direct action and direct democracy, where people and communities act through their own power to control and change their own lives without representatives, that oppressions must be confronted both within and outside of our movements, and that only fundamental systemic changes will lead to real justice, liberation, and peace. The range of workshops and trainings, seriousness of the dialogue strategy sessions, and the cultural music presentations made this in-center gathering both very special and very empowering. I want to thank everyone who participated in the Immokalee and Centro, and truly hope that our grassroots gathering helped to contribute to create a new and better world for all life, for all of our relations. I hope the voices you hear from my interviews at the In Centro exemplify this introductory commentary. The devastation to Mother Earth and the ever-widening gap between rich and poor of the world is a major concern of us here at Yadkins United Center. Many of our Wolf Mountain Radio programs over the years have focused on global justice issues. Global justice is also a major concern of today's program guest, Mr. David Solnit. He and I share many of the same concerns for a better world: the protection of our biosphere, elimination of poverty, social and economic justice. After talking with David during the In Centro, I was pleased to learn that he has participated in a number of activist actions and campaigns that I too have been involved with over the years. Several examples include supporting the Western Shoshone fight to protect their sacred homeland, Nui Sogabia, now called Nevada, protesting the World Bank, International Monetary Fund, and other colonial economic institutions and policies, such as the World Trade Organization, General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade, North American Free Trade Agreement, Central American Free Trade Agreement, and the Free Trade Agreement of the Americas, participation with Earth First, and other historic struggles for peace and justice. Before we listen to my conversation with Mr. Solnit, I want to play Tracy Chapman's song, Talking About a Revolution. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker, thanking you for listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Oh, Kinawan Wetakwisin, to all of our relations.
Don't you know, we're talking about a revolution sounds. Don't you know, we're talking about a revolution sounds. While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds. Who are people gonna rise up and get their share? We're gonna rise up and take what's there. Don't you know you better run, 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 run. Oh, I said you better run, 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 run. Cause finally the tables are starting to turn. Talk about a revolution. Stop. of those armies of salvation. Wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds. And finally the tables are starting to turn, talking about a revolution. Talking about a revolution, oh, no. Talking about a revolution, oh, no. Talking about a revolution, oh, no.
I'm David Solnit, and I'm an arts organizer. I use art and theater and dance and music to try and change the world and shift people's consciousness. And I'm also a direct action organizer. I try and organize ourselves as people to assert our power, what I call people power, direct action, to try and stop the excesses of the system we live under and start creating a better world to replace it.
We were talking personally a moment ago about the term empire and globalization. Would you share for our worldwide audience your concept of that term and some examples of your, you might say, life work in that area?
Well, empire is one framework or one word to identify the system we live under. And if you look at the pattern of foreign policy of the U.S., domestic policy and economic policy, together it makes up an empire in the tradition of the Roman Empire, the British Empire, and now the American Empire, or as the Bush administration neoconservatives like to call it, Pax Americana. And there's a very instructive quote by the sort of the evil brains behind the Bush administration named Karl Rove. He's the person who's credited with creating the public image of Bush. And he told a New York Times reporter, New York Times magazine reporter, in an interview several years ago, he got quite irritated at the man and said, "The problem with you is you're part of the reality-based community." Well, that's not how it works anymore. We're an empire now, and we create our own reality. And while you're busy fighting that reality, we'll create more new realities, and that's how it's going to be. We're history's actors, and you, all you people, can just study what we do. So they actually see themselves as an empire. And a lot of the groups I work with think it's important for people from working on the local issues, from all the different movements, to, if we want to get to the roots of our problems, it's like if you want to get to the root of a weed in your garden, you can't just cut off the top, you have to pull it up from the roots. So we've been encouraging people to start identifying and naming the system that we live under. And in the term of empire, in the language we use, we talk about empire as a system has three pillars. The first pillar is corporate globalization or economic globalization, trying to impose corporate capitalism on every corner of the planet. The second one is war and occupation, using militarism and war to impose the empire all over the planet. And the third one is what we call the war at home, and that's the domestic impact. And that in order to maintain, to carry up the military wars and the economic globalization, they have to wage a war on their own people, which is taking away our rights, our freedoms, our civil liberties, particularly attacking immigrant communities, communities of color, poor people, and also taking away the things we need, cutbacks on services, wages, so life becomes a lot worse for those people who live inside the heart of the empire.
David, you were mentioning earlier when we were talking outside listening to the beautiful thunder and rain this afternoon about your experience working in Nui Sugabea, as it's correctly called, now called Nevada, the traditional homeland territory of the Western Shoshone people. One of the elders, who is my friend, and I will use the word teacher, is my dear friend Corbin Harney, that you know and have met, and my brother Miles Spotted Eagle works with me here on Radio for Peace International. Would you share some of your thoughts and comments about working with the Shemaha Network and your time trying to defend that sacred part of Mother Earth, Nui Sugabea?
Yeah, I had the pleasure of spending 5 years working to try and stop the Nevada test site located on ancestral and treaty Western Shoshone land. And most of us non-Native folks went out there because we were concerned about nuclear war, the policies of empire behind it. And it was only once we were there and we actually met the Western Shoshone elders, Corbin Harney, Raymond Yao, Marion Carey, Dan, Bill Rossi, an incredibly smart and generous group, very patient group of people who worked with us over the years and ended up taking a real leadership role of what's been one of the strongest civil disobedience campaigns in American history. We've had towards 15,000 people arrested in a 15-year campaign, and that campaign in conjunction with other people around the world have stopped large-scale nuclear testing, and it's very clearly as a result of that grassroots pressure and the Western Shoshone playing a leadership role within that. And we had there was an organic process that happened amongst us peace and anti-nuclear activists where, you know, we developed positive relationships with the Western Shoshone, but through that process people began to understand that actually if the 1863 Treaty of Ruby Valley were honored, there wouldn't actually be a test site there, and that wasn't unique to the United States, that every country that tests nuclear weapons, whether it's Russia doing it on traditional Kazakh land in former Soviet Kazakhstan, which is now its own republic, the French in Tahiti on Maori land, and throughout the world it's all tested on indigenous land. So if there are indigenous land rights, we have our goals met. So we began to organically understand the relationship between militarism, stopping the empire, and native sovereignty. So it got to the point where, you know, we had done a campaign of direct action civil disobedience against the Nevada test site, and when the federal government cracked down on Marion Carey Dan, who had been on the front line struggle for Western Shoshone land rights, and started to take away their livestock, and their brother Clifford pulled his pickup truck in front of a federal cattle truck trying to steal their livestock, poured gasoline over himself and threatened to set himself on fire. They tackled him, fire extinguished him, and sent him to jail for 3 months in federal jail. We anti-nuclear activists mobilized up to the Dan country, the Dan Ranch in northern Nevada, and built barricades along the roads, and the Western Shoshone National Council met and they authorized us to close the roads and by whatever means we saw fit. And people had already made signs up that said closed by order of the Western Shoshone National Council as an assertion of their sovereignty. We pounded the signs into the middle of all the access roads, and then the Western Shoshone basically authorized us, said it was okay for us to take initiative to close the roads. So we pounded rebar spikes all throughout the road because federal marshals were coming to steal the Western Shoshone Dan sisters' means of livelihood. So the next day, something like 5 different federal marshals' cars got all their tires deflated, and it was actually kind of magical. We were spent the whole night throughout the countryside pounding these rebar stakes that we had arc welded into the night before. And then just before dawn, a light snow. This was just after Indigenous Day, so-called Thanksgiving. And so a light snow covered the whole ground and disabled a number of their vehicles. But so we were able to show resistance, make a point, and the struggle continues. I think what was instructive for a lot of us working with the Western Shoshone is that people began to understand that there was a fundamentally different understanding of land and the earth, in the sense that it doesn't actually belong to people and it isn't meant to be a commodity that's to be bought and sold, but that it's, you know, to be respected and people take what they need and return what they can and that type of thing. Thank you.
Press Song was the name of that chant from Robert Tree Cody and Hovia Edwards off their Canon Records CD entitled Reflections. My guest today on Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices is Mr. David Solnit, a well-respected global justice activist who was a fellow participant at the 2005 Immokalee in Centro. David is the editor of a very fine book entitled Globalized Liberation, How to Uproot the System and Build a Better World, published by City Lights Books. The text includes a number of essays by many excellent activist writers. David, my next question is about your work in defending forests, an issue I have devoted much of my life to. As many listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know, I am a professional forest ecologist that has been fighting the desecration of forest lands in many parts of the world. I've helped organize a number of tribal communities in Southeast Asia and Mesoamerica battle the destruction of tropical forests. Throughout what's now called North America, I have been fighting forest industries and U.S. and Canadian government policy, both logging issues and pollution from pulp and paper companies. Forests are sacred lands to me and many indigenous peoples throughout the world. The rape of our tree relatives and resultant killing off of our forest animal-plant relations is a crime of ecocide. It is also a violation of native treaties as well as indigenous people's statements, such as the Wendake and Letitia declarations on forests presented to World Forestry Congresses. David, I know you have worked with Earth First. Would you please talk about your efforts to protect forests?
Yeah, I've worked closely with Earth First, mostly with our arts group, Art and Revolution, going up there and doing art and theater, but also as a direct action trainer, training people to prepare themselves to put their bodies on the line. And it was during Redwood Summer, the summer where Judy Berry was bombed in her car by the FBI, that there was a national call out for people to go and save the largest remaining old-growth redwood forest, the Headwaters Forest. So a bunch of us went up there. We did trainings, and the first action we did was to shut down the incredibly toxic pulp and paper mill of Louisiana Pacific on Samoa, which is actually the site of a Native massacre outside of Arcata in Eureka, California. So it was a very charged place, and, you know, and now they're massacring the ecosystem by spewing huge amounts of PCBs. So we shut it down with our bodies, blockaded all the pulp mills and trees coming in, and ended up in jail. And one of the things they were trying to do to break our movement is give everybody probation so they couldn't do actions again, and charge them $500. And, you know, we're a poor movement. So we said, we're not leaving jail until you drop that sentencing pattern and give us time served or give us community service so we can work it off. And they refused. So we then took our resistance into the courtroom and did a month-long trial, cost them tens of thousands of dollars. My attorney, as I mentioned earlier, our affinity group is called The Lorax, so she did her closing argument to the jury was reading the book The Lorax, and the jury, seven of the jury, agreed that we were actually in the right, and the company, Louisiana Pacific, was in felony violation of the Clean Water Act by spewing PCBs into the ocean. Doing it is a misdemeanor, but doing it knowingly and repeatedly is a felony. And there's a state law in California called prevention of crime. So we won the case based on that we were exercising our right to use that law.
As I walk through the forest, to venture as I please, I hear the birds lamenting the killing of the trees. I hear the songbird crying, I see the things he sees, I feel the spirit dying, the killing of the trees. I stand among my people, the rivers and the breeze. I call the men who ordered the killing of the trees. May God forgive their madness, their violence and their greed. Their children not despise them for killing all the trees. And God forgive the policeman who keeps us on our knees. With guns the merchant pays for while killing all the trees. And all across the heavens, across the star-filled seas, the universe shall judge them for killing all the trees, for killing all the trees.
David, being here this week at the Immokalee in Centro, which is organized and hosted by youth activists from across the country, has renewed my spirit. It is wonderful to hear and learn from young warriors who are continuing the social, economic, and environmental justice struggles that you and I have been a part of for many years. At times, my heart has been really saddened by seeing much suffering happening all over Mother Earth in its many forms of injustice. It is depressing to witness the impacts of the U.S. Bush-Cheney-Rumsfeld-Rice administration as example. However, earlier you and I were talking a little bit about the growing global justice movement across the world and how community-based organizing and resistance to globalization is strengthening. The other evening in the session I was a speaker, I mentioned several examples of how indigenous peoples throughout the world are communicating more with each other and supporting each other's rights to sovereignty and self-determination. I talked about Native peoples in what we call Abiyala, Mesoamerica, or Central and South America, forming progressive movements and alliances with compañeros and compañeras, which is a sign of hope. David, what are your thoughts on this?
For me, there's three reasons why I believe the empire is going to collapse, and common sense, ecological wisdom, and mutual respect are going to take its place. And the first reason is that, well, the empire has globalized itself and reached into every corner of the world at the same time, and often through the same technologies. Our movements are more globalized than at any time in history. So, for example, before the United States invaded Iraq, the anti-globalization and global justice movement decided to organize a worldwide day of protest against the war. In 6 weeks, through this network, people organized on every continent, the biggest demonstration in the history of planet Earth on February 15th, 2003. So that we have that level of capacity to organize and coordinate as movements on a scale that we've never done before. So that's number one. And number two, these movements in each country, and in most of them, we're a bit behind here in the United States, but our movements are bigger, stronger, and more radical. Radical comes from the same Latin root as the word radish, so it means to, doesn't mean being extremist or anything, it means to getting to the root of the problem. Which, you know, any gardener knows if you have weeds, you gotta get to the root. And the third reason is that, I think people's ideas, there's something that I call the new radicalism, that everybody has to look at things through their own framework and their own culture, but a lot of cultures are developing radical ideas that get to the root of the problem, that are understanding you can't take power to change the world, you can't take the same institutions, whether it be corporations or centralized governments, and change the world that way. And that was what happened over the last century, as socialists and communists and progressives took over governments, and then they ended up getting corrupted. And we've seen, you know, good-hearted men like Nelson Mandela, a wonderful person, but those institutions are so hardwired to centralize power, turn things into commodities, and disempower people in the environment that there's nothing you can do to change it. Like, the change has to come from below. And so there's a whole lot of movements, anti-capitalism, radical ecology, feminism, anarchism, that are all coming to very similar conclusions, that our resistance has to be like an ecosystem, that we have to live in balance with the earth, and that change has to come from below. And what's incredible is, you know, a lot of us get our inspiration from movements like the Western Shoshone, like the Zapatistas, indigenous people in Chiapas, the incredible movements that have toppled two governments over the last 2 years of indigenous and campesinos in Bolivia, and that those of us from non-indigenous backgrounds are through our own path coming to parallel conclusions that indigenous people, you know, probably came to long ago. But, you know, people have to, it doesn't help for non-native people to just adopt native ways and native thinking. People have to come to it through their own culture. So right now I see a huge aligning of people understanding that we're all facing the same globalized system, and having a lot of shared beliefs about creating what the Zapatistas call a world in which many worlds fit. That, you know, we're not going to try and impose on different nations, different peoples, different communities how to live, as long as we respect each other. So I think there is cause for hope. I actually think we're winning. And if you look at the behavior of the empire, the U.S. government in Iraq, economically, with countries like Argentina's economy collapsing, they're desperate. They're losing control, and they're acting like a desperate empire. And the main source of power, which is whether or not people believe you're legitimate, the U.S. has very little power. This empire has very little legitimacy in the world, and it's only a matter of time until things come to follow that the empire collapses, and those of us who believe in a better world need to start getting busy and creating the infrastructure to run our communities, our societies, and raising our kids in the way the world's going to be.
Would you talk a little bit about your book, Globalized Liberation?
Globalized Liberation is an organizing and inspiration manual of what I called earlier the new radicalism, this movement of movements of people. Everyone comes from a different background, has a different perspective on the world, and the old way of leftists and communists and socialists trying to change it was, well, my perspective is correct and you have to think like me, and we're actually going to impose these ideas on you even though you come from a different history, a different tradition, different culture. Well, people realized over the last century, if you looked at the movements that took over governments and then ended up becoming what they opposed, but that didn't work. So now people are realizing that, okay, actually there's a lot of different ways to look at those, and if we learn each other's ways, we can respect them, and then that's actually essential, and that, you know, the world is like an ecosystem and it thrives with diversity. You know, you don't want everyone in the jungle to become a giraffe, because then they won't be sustainable. You want everyone to be their own species and behave in their own way, and our movements are like that. So the book documents the movements in Argentina, which had taken the ideas of the Zapatismo and applied them to Argentina, though it's in South America, it's much more like the United States or Europe than it is like indigenous, predominantly indigenous nations like Bolivia or Ecuador. It's European immigrants in a modern industrial economy. But after the economy collapsed, they, taking the lead from the Zapatistas, began to reorganize their community. They've taken over 200 factories that the workers are running themselves. They have over 100 neighborhood assemblies where people make decisions for their own neighborhood. And the Picatero groups, the unemployed people who have played a leadership role in this movement, have shut down the highways around the country, demanded unemployment relief, taken that money, pooled it, and created alternative institutions, since no one has any faith in either the government or the global economy to fix it. So when I was there making puppets with the movements, you had unemployed people building their own bakeries, brick factories, milk and bread centers for the kids, popular education centers, very hopeful. So this book tries to document all these parallel movements that make up this movement of movements that I'm quite convinced is going to change things. And it's geared towards activists, so there's a lot of how-to of the first part's called What's the Problem? From a lot of different perspectives, racism, class, ecology. It's looking at what's the root problem of society. And depending on who and where you are, that might look different, but we need to understand each other. The second one is how to change things. That looks at a lot of strategies of what's been effective to topple governments, stop injustice, and it has a lot of strategies and strategy tools so people can become more sophisticated in standing up to a very sophisticated system. And finally, the last one is called Ideas in Action, which is examples of people who are winning.
Yeah. You are listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kitichi Native Center. Yat Kitichi Native Center defends Mother Earth and the cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center is an intertribal culture and arts, environmental protection, social justice, and news media organization. Yat Kitichi Native Center portrays Native peoples and their world views in a more accurate and in-depth depiction of both our ancestral and contemporary cultures. Yat Kitichi Native Center serves to educate by providing a deeper understanding of our diverse cultures, arts, values, histories, and contemporary situations. Yat Kitichi tries to honor traditional ways by instilling an appreciation and respect for Mother Earth and tribal peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center educates the public on important issues facing Indigenous communities. We work in support of intertribal, cultural, environmental, and social justice issues by networking with other organizations and events which share our concerns. Yat Kitichi Native Center serves as a focal point for Native news and information. We maintain a documentary library for networking with the Native and international press. Yat Kitichi Native Center's Speakers Bureau provides spokespersons for school programs, conference speakers, and community presentations. Yat Kitichi Native Center is experienced in planning, promoting Native forums, symposiums, powwows, and cultural events. Yat Kitichi's Mishkwinataki Environment Program protects Mother Earth through conservation and restoration projects. Yat Kitichi's Environmental Education Program focuses on curriculum development, teacher training, and nature field trips. We are members of the professional organization, the North American Association of Environmental Education. Yat Kitichi's Kinonwatakusin Native Arts creates quality handcrafted traditional and contemporary fine arts. Please request our catalog of custom flutes, pottery, beaded necklaces, bracelets, earrings, leather pouches, hat bands, and chokers with bone. Yat Kitichi Native Center's Wolf Mountain Radio Program, Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, honors Native American and Indigenous peoples throughout the world by being a voice for our ancestors, contemporary, and future generations. Please write us for our catalog of audio tapes available for purchase. Native peoples throughout the world are concerned for the well-being of sacred Mother Earth, tribal sovereignty, and respect for cultural lifeways. If you appreciate hearing Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, we ask you, our listeners, to help financially support our program to stay on the air. Wolf Mountain Radio is an all-volunteer production. Any financial contribution to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices will be greatly appreciated. We thank you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Please feel free to contact us about our consulting services, or if you or your organization is interested in hosting a speaker or educational forum. To contact Yat Kitichi Native Center, write to Yat Kitichi Native Center, 1731 16th Avenue Northeast, Naples, Florida, 34120, USA. Yat Kitichi Native Center sincerely thanks you. Aho, Kinawatakusin, to all of our relations.
The song we featured prior to our Yat Kitichi Native Center program identification was from Mohawk singer-songwriter Howard Lyons, entitled For Our Seventh Generation, from Mr. Lyons' Sound of America record CD, Spirit Rock. Well, dear friends, we're nearing the end of our broadcast time together for this edition of Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Wolf Mountain Radio thanks all of our worldwide listeners for your nice emails and letters. We invite feedback, so please feel free to write us at Yacht Kadishi Native Center, 1731 16th Avenue Northeast, Naples, Florida, 34120 USA. Our email is yachtkadishi@earthlink.net. Once again, our email is yatkitishehe@earthlink.net. More detailed information about Yacht Kadishi Native Center and Wolf Mountain Radio is available from our website, www.yachtkadishi.org. Once again, more detailed information about Yacht Kadishi Native Center and Wolf Mountain Radio is available from our website, www.yatkitishehe.org. I want to again sincerely thank Mr. David Solnit for being our guest today on Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. I encourage everyone to read the excellent book he edited, Globalized Liberation, How to Uproot the System and Build a Better World, published by City Lights Books. It is a fine collection of global justice essays. I also encourage our worldwide listeners to become active in the movement to create a better world. Check out our Yacht Kadishi Native Center website links page for a range of organizations and their websites that I highly recommend. We conclude today's broadcast with a song from the All People Singers, a longtime favorite of mine, We're Standing Here Together, a protest song against nuclear power, one of the important battles David Solnit and I continue to fight. Until the next Wolf Mountain Radio program, this is your host and producer, Ernest Pritzker. Aho, Kinon Watakwasin, to all of our relations.
Standing here together with a bunch of our friends, helping nuclear power come to an end. This movement is growing and it's getting mighty strong, cause we know we are right and this is our song. We've seen many a struggle in our so many years. Some ended in triumph, the others in tears. But we're the type of folks that are gonna join in a fight when we know that the struggle is proper and right. We are standing here together with a bunch of our friends, helping nuclear power come to an end. This movement is growing and it's getting mighty strong, cause we know we are right and this is our song. We look towards the sun and we look towards the wind. There are many alternatives to make the turbine spin. Hydro and coal, why just to name a few. If you want to join this struggle, the plans will stand with you. We are standing here together with a bunch of our friends, helping nuclear power come to an end. This movement is growing and it's getting mighty strong, cause we know we are right and this is our song. We know that it's not safe, we know that it's not clean. Don't want fair plutonium nor the radioactive steam. This is our world, we want it safe, my friend. Fight this nuclear madness right till the bitter end. We are standing here together with a bunch of our friends, helping nuclear power come to an end. This movement is growing and it's getting mighty strong, cause we know we are right and this is our song. If you're against nuclear power, stand up and clap your hands. Listen, it's no new message throughout this beautiful land. A new day is dawning, the sun is shining bright. If we all stand together, it's bound to come out right. We are standing here together with a bunch of our friends, helping nuclear power come to an end. This movement is growing and it's getting mighty strong, cause we know we are right and this is our song. The time it is coming, for they'll have to hear our song. We're hand in hand together in strength of march along. There are other ways to light up our cities and our towns. From the Arlo to Seabrook, we're gonna shut them down. We are standing here together with a bunch of our friends.
nuclear power. Come to an end. This movement is growing and it's getting mighty strong. 'Cause we know we are right and